Auto retail consignment provides car dealers with a unique way to source inventory with private sellers. Jim is the founder and CEO of Retail My Ride, ready to answer your questions. So join the live chat, say hello, make new friends, and learn from the best on ATI Auto Business. What's up, ecosystem? Welcome back to ATI Auto Business, Automotive Ecosystem, where everyone learns more about the automotive industry. We have a great show lined up for you tonight. Top industry news includes Proficient Auto Transport merger, ACV transportation tech update, and fraud, the biggest not news story. At a quarter hour, we've got Jim Horan. He's the CEO of Retail My Ride. And at the half hour, Sky Hallman and Mike Benavides are going to join the panel. We got a lot of information. Please do feel free to say hello in the live chat. Click share, copy, grab that YouTube link. Let's go ahead and get started. I moved a couple things around. I'm trying something out. We'll see if it works. It's show 342 in a row on a Tuesday night. This is the Automotive Ecosystem. This is Jim. Jim Horan is the CEO and founder of Retail My Ride. This is his website, and you can go there, retailmyride.com. Connect with a trusted retail consignment pro professional. And what is consignment pro? We're going to talk about that tonight. By the way, mic check 1, 2, 3, we're okay. All right, what's up, Wendy and Charles? Thank you so much. And Moosey. Okay, that's it. There we go. All right, cool. Digital Bell. It's a digital world. We're going to learn about... Oh, there we go. We're going to learn about automotive retail consignment. Now, Jim is going to give us a presentation, a brief presentation about what this is and how this benefits you, the dealer, and you, the private seller. He's going to talk about traditional dealer inventory sourcing solutions, kind of a take on what you already know, and he's going to go beyond that. In the panel, asking questions and bringing information, we got Sky Hallman, AI Sky Hallman, and then the real Mike Benavides. We want you to know your ecosystem. I know I talk about that, and I mean it, trying to wrap my arms around the system. Two weeks ago, we had Auto Intel Summit Energy. I bring this up because next Tuesday night will be Auto Intel Summit live, actually. And this is, thank you, Auto Remarketing Magazine, for giving me a shout out about the Auto Intel Summit National Remarketing Conference preview with the speakers. I'll be live with Nick and Joe next Tuesday. We might go live a little bit early to accommodate. They're going to be live at the trade show as it's happening, so we're going to accommodate their schedule. It might be just a touch early. Also, last week had Check AI vehicle inspections. We learned more about getting real-time estimates. It's not enough to just see the damages. Now we need estimates. And this is the curve of AI as we see it. We're going to need more and more and more to stand out. We did the Baltimore Bridge Automotive Impact Panel last Thursday. That was just a few days ago. This is the panel. If you missed it, you should check it out. We have a little bit of information coming up in the news. This is the podcast, Baltimore Port Bridge Collapse Automotive Impact. And I want to thank the panel again. Awesome, because I saw this headline. And this was it. Minimal? Really minimal? There's no way I wouldn't even put that headline out there. I'm just saying. But you know, why not? Be controversial, right? Be controversial. We got a port update. We have a port update? So let's go into some news. Here we go. ATI Auto Business, delivering auto ecosystem news every Tuesday night. We're 5 minutes in now. If you saw this... This was a big deal in auto transport, in the vertical of transportation. What is it? There's no name, there's no date, but man, oh man, this thing caused a splash. Let's take a look at it. So after 20 plus years of service, Deluxe Auto Carriers is merging with four other companies to become Proficient Auto Logistics, which will be a public company trading on NASDAQ under the symbol PAL. Together, the companies have access to over 1,100 trucks. The plan is to maintain the identities of the five individual companies, but move to common systems. The other companies, in addition to, what is it again? It's Deluxe. Deluxe Auto Carriers, Delta, Proficient, Sierra, and Tribeca are all going to join together under, Proficient is going to keep the main name. Ah, what does this new for you? What does this news mean to you? Don't panic. Don't do anything. Your employer remains the same. Your leadership remains the same. Your compensation is the same. You're now much part of a larger, financially secure public company that's expanding and enhancing and growing. On the road, auto transport roll-up, Proficient Auto files for $100 million IPO. Wow. So this is official. April 11th official. Customers range from global auto companies, GM, BMW, to Tesla and Rivian, dealers, auctions, rental, leasing. Jacksonville, Florida-based company booking $415 million in revenue. Wow. For 2023. Now, what is that? Yeah, wait a minute. What does that mean? Let's take a look here. Number of trucks. Now, the largest is United Road, but according to this chart, doesn't have as many OEMs. Interesting. Behind them, Jack Cooper, which is Union. And now the newly formed Proficient Auto Logistics will be the third largest in number of trucks. Wow. Okay. Behind them, Hanson Atkins. Behind them, Cassins. Cassins is Union. So of the top five, two are Union. Three, non-Union. That's very interesting. We could keep going. I thought, you know, I'm going to dive in. It was recommended to me. Somebody messaged me, Jay, why don't you take a look at the SEC filing? So I did. I found it. If you want to download this filing, I'm going to put it here. Let's see, PAL SEC filing. It's like 387 pages, no big deal. There's a lot of info here. You could learn a lot. Skip all the, you know, Mad Housewives content and all that stuff and read this thing, dude. Okay, starts with common stock. Look at this table of contents. It's in the link. I just put it in the live chat. You've got year-ended revenue income for each company before the merger. Wow, for the past 2023, 2022, 2021. Earnings before income, interest before interest. Dang it, EBITDA. You know what I'm saying? Operating revenue, here you go. Here's a takeaway. I don't even know what page this is. I gave you the link. Truckload revenue versus brokerage revenue. Let's play a game. Which earns more revenue? Having trucks or brokering loads? Okay. You'll have to, if you're on the podcast, you'll have to tune into the show to find out. Combined total operating revenue, compounded annual growth rate, CAGR. Stuff will make you smarter. We believe this historical growth is largely attributed to, they're predicting 15% growth to continue. Market share shifting from union to non-union. Interesting. Price increases resulting from industry-leading service levels provided to OEMs, coupled with significant trucking and rail capacity shortages. OEMs partnering with auto transportation service providers. Interesting. There's a lot here. Check it out. Port update. So yes, automakers are facing disruptions following the Baltimore Bridge collapse. As you can see on this map, that squiggly line is not the bridge. It affected this whole area, Dundalk, Curtis Bay. Look at, that's a lot of area. And as Joe Bercari pointed out in this panel, and I made a YouTube short out of it, it's a lot of volume. There's more than that, too. You should check out the YouTube short that I posted on LinkedIn. But here's some highlights. It's right on line for two major railroads. Easy access to I-95, I-81, I-70. Port of Baltimore services GM, Honda, Jaguar, Land Rover, Mitsubishi, Nissan, Toyota, Volvo, Mazda. A lot of car hauling in and a lot of car hauling out. And 2/3 of the population of the U.S., 65%+ of the U.S., is within 500 miles of the Port of Baltimore. So yeah, it's a big deal. For how long? Don't know. So let's talk about Brunswick. Now, Brunswick, that port increases vehicle traffic, invests for further growth. The U.S. Port of Brunswick processes 750,000 passenger cars, light trucks, up 13% from last year. That's going to be up again this year significantly. Imports accounting for 75% of the volume. And I remember it was at Auto Haulers Association of America, I want to say in 2019, where they were talking about additions to Colonel Island Terminal at Brunswick. Well, that turned out to be a great move. Mercedes-Benz is going to be happy. They're the car maker that moved the most volume, has a vehicle processing center at Brunswick. Brunswick Vehicle Terminals and the Authority investing more than $260 million to develop approximately 40 hectares of additional property. Another great call. So here's a weird story. Why is Montreal a stolen car export hub? Once a container filled with stolen cars reaches the port of Montreal, there aren't enough border guards to check it. Okay. Between mid-December and the end of March, police inspected about 400 shipping containers at the port of Montreal, found nearly 600 with stolen vehicles. Most of them from the Toronto area. Crime ring. It's a very large port, Vice President of Investigative Services said, with rail and road links to the greater Toronto area where many vehicles are stolen. Montreal's port is conveniently located for criminals. Okay, that's news. Ford sent a whopping 144,000 trucks to dealers. F-150s and Rangers aplenty. Lightnings will be shipping again, too. Now you know. It's in the news. Ford said Thursday it'll restart the shipments. Now, they had been halted. There was a concern about there were quality problems. But the automaker first tried a go-slow approach to vehicle launches last year at its Kentucky Truck Complex that builds Super Duty pickups and Navigator large SUVs. Ford paid out nearly $4.8 billion to cover warranty repairs in 2023. So, probably want to cut down on that. But those trucks are ready to go now, they say. ACV now provides transport and logistics on vehicles bought through other platforms. That's news. Okay. ACV has expanded yet again, this time within the vehicle transport logistics side, now offering its services for vehicle purchases outside of the ACV platform. Sounds like really big news. By extending our services to vehicles from various sources, we're helping our dealer partners move inventory with one provider, ACV, making transportation process even more efficient. An example of ACV's ongoing work to provide seamless transportation solutions to the entire automotive community. I'm telling you, as I read this, it sounds like huge, huge news. The company said in the release that this expansion helps to eliminate common boundaries for dealers and businesses to benefit from ACV's trusted and efficient transportation services. And they even, big press release, lots of stuff. Okay, so I watched the video. Now I know ACV gets this email, and that's good. Let's keep going. Because I watched the video, you log into your ACV account, you click on ACV Transport when you're inside the portal. You can order and track, get a quote, search by VIN, order transportation, right? To get your quote, select your dealership, put it in your VIN, pick up zip, delivery zip, click get your quote, and you get your quote. Well, that's an online calculator. So, I know that the difference here, and I realize, treading lightly, I'm bringing this up because this is kind of like the fraud thing. We're going to go to fraud next. Is that It's the same pool of carriers. Everybody's using pretty much the same pool of carriers. If your vetting process is better than the next guy's, now there's the difference maker. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about vetting and fraud. I mean, nobody else is, but, you know, I'm going to. Right, you see the CarMax news, profits up, profits down, whatever? Yeah, yeah, that's not the news. The news is the fraud. That's why I posted, fraud tops EV and driver shortage in my book. There's too many substandard brokers and carriers, and now scammers have picked up on it, and now you got fraudulent shippers. There are plenty of substandard carriers out there. Now vetting brokers has become the problem. That's an exact quote from Beyond the Transaction article by Auto Remarketing. There's the article. Please read it. Beyond the Transaction, transport conditions improve, but lack of driver bench strength persists. Again, fraud's not mentioned because fraud is not the news. Let's go through it. Dan Kennedy says volume versus capacity in auto transport seems to be on the mend. Now that, I know we're hoping is true. Joe Kuechler agreed that capacity is a top transport industry issue, saying we're starting to see volume come back. But on Thursday, when I talked to Sue and I asked her, is volume coming back? She says, well, there might be more cars, but the rates don't reflect an increase. How about EVs? EVs are an area in which those transport industry representatives expressed a bit of disagreement. EVs are going to be a challenge for the industry going forward, Dan Kennedy said. Kuechler mentioned charging is another issue, noting the chance of EV batteries going dead during hauling, but expressing a different view is Jay Wurzberger, founder of ATI Auto Business, a YouTube channel. He said a slowdown in EV demand has made EV hauling less of a problem. Force my mug. Change my mind. I still believe EVs are inevitable. Absolutely. It's just that it was way too much, too fast. People are like, well, what are we going to do about car hauling and EV? Guess what? I don't think we have to figure that out today. And in fact, that came up. It came up previously. Whatever the solution is, it is right now. It is not the main focus. It's not a main focus. Trent Broberg agreed slowdown in EV purchasing behavior as an overall trend. And that's just, you know what? That's just stuff. Let's go to driver shortage. Driver shortage becomes an issue, becomes character quality issue. It's the issue that won't go away, I said. It's plagued the industry, but it's become a good experienced driver shortage. There's plenty of substandard carriers out there, and that's led to an increase in fraud. You know the other part of the quote if you've been watching. So let's take a look at it. Am I just, you know, coming up with this? No, this is from Truck Stop the other day. Dear valued customer. Now, again, I'm sorry, this is freight, but it still applies. Scammers continue to come up with new fraudulent ways to harm customers, and some customers have fallen victim to these scams. This page is called Newly Identified Scams. There's more. Customers may be receiving emails from similar-looking domains impersonating Truck Stop, asking them to click a link. Do you know how much damage can be done by clicking the wrong link? Customers are being asked to provide proof of payment by scammers posing as RMIS employee. You know what happens when you give a scammer your payment information? Oh, here's another page. Be aware of current scams. You may receive a phone call where a scammer is falsely identifying themselves as RMIS. You know what happens if you go for that? Fraudsters are posing as RMIS support over email requesting sensitive information. Tell me this isn't top page news. Another page of stuff. And you even have to check the email addresses. They're telling you these two email addresses are proper. This one isn't. Looks pretty similar. You're bumping down the road. You're trying to get your load because your dispatcher's not allowed to do that for you. Can you check the legitimacy of the email while you're doing that? How about FMCSA forces broker transparency from Uber Freight after double brokering scam? That's a good time. Central Dispatch just put out, what's the date on that? April 11th? The auto transport industry is experiencing an increase in fraudulent activity. Sue sends me that, so I went to check it. Yep, it's on the dashboard. So, I don't like it either. But above EV and above driver shortage, which is debatable, because on last Thursday's show it came up that there are experienced car haulers calling companies to see if they can move loads for them. These guys are available. So, it's fraud, all right? It's not sexy. You won't sell anything by talking about it, but it's fraud. Fraud is your number one story in transportation right now. There, I said it. Leverage ATI in your business. I know chip cars and move information. You can go to ATIAutoBusiness.com, click on Contact Us. If you need something, get the podcast. Enjoy that. This is the automotive ecosystem. All right, I'm glad I got that off my chest. We can now move on with the rest of the show. Thank you so much for joining. Stick around right after this. Retail My Ride, auto retail consignment. We'll be right back.
The evolution of transportation. In the beginning of car shipping, there were stone tablets and woolly mammoths, very primitive vehicle delivery. Then, horse-powered haulers with mile-long paper BOLs causing enormous time hassle and massive stacks of paperwork for dealers, shippers, and carriers. What were we thinking? But now, with modern technology and cell phone mobile apps, simply click a button, order quick, reliable auto transport to pick up and deliver your cars safely and on time. It's instant car shipping at the best market rate. Start saving money today and get signed up. Visit OneAuctionView.com.
Are you completely stressed out from all the calls and the contracts and the verifications of loads where nobody ever answers the phone? Call Murphy Auto Dispatch Services today. Murphy Auto Dispatch Services has over 15 years in the transport industry. We are your office while you are on the road. We book, we verify, and we bill out your loads for you. We have an excellent accounting staff and an even better dispatch team. Give us a call today at 417-273-0021. Or if you want to email me, it's murphyautotransport31@yahoo.com. Give us a call today.
Need help shipping a car or keeping a carrier loaded? Murphy Auto Transport Services is a fully licensed broker and offers professional dispatch services. Visit murphyautotransportservices.com. Thank you so much for taking the time. All right. Hey, and thanks for jumping in the live chat, the comments, and okay, Wendy and Rob and Sky are on fire. Here we go. Please do help me wish a very warm welcome. This is his second time on ATI. Fifth time, you get a jacket. Jim, can you see me and hear me okay?
Both. I can see and hear you. Thanks.
All right, great. I can see you. I can hear you. Jim, welcome back. Yeah. You were here on the eCars show. That was maybe a month ago?
Last month, March.
We just touched upon consignment in, well, we talked about it a little bit, but you've got more to say. So we're here to learn about auto retail consignment. I'm going to hand you the microphone. I'm going to bring up, let's see, I've got a slide deck here. And Jim, what do we have here?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me back again. It's, I like being in the ecosystem. It's a cool place to be. and what we're talking about tonight is just a piece of that ecosystem, I guess, which is vehicle sourcing. It's probably one of the primary pieces of the ecosystem. Because without cars, we're not selling things, and we're not in business. So it starts with the sourcing. Do you want to just give a 2-minute background for those that maybe didn't watch the show a month ago?
Good call.
I actually started in the car business 45 years ago, if you can believe that. I find it hard to believe. I was 15 years old, working for my stepfather's new car dealerships down in Miami. And from there, when I graduated college, went on to work for GMAC, the finance company, for 20 years. During that time, I was one of I had many jobs with them, and it was a great experience. But my favorite one was a stint there with the remarketing and the auction. So I was one of five regional remarketing directors, and I think at the peak when I was there, we ended up processing 1.2 million vehicles per year, or that year, through the auction system. And it was before we had internets, and we had internet, but we didn't have, you know, the online auctions and things like that. In 2013, I opened Affordable Auto Broker, so I'm a licensed Texas retail dealer. On day one, we supplemented our inventory with consignment. A lot of it was out of cash flow necessity, but it was also seemed like a pretty cool thing to do. And so we started that doing that in 2013. And then in 2018, I launched Retail My Ride, and we'll get into that a little bit more. But there was a gap there. There was a big hole where basically there's you know, dealers out there that have been using consignment to source vehicles. But I think we're the only one still since 2018 even that has kind of a platform whose mission statement is to bring sellers and dealers together in the consignment ecosystem and subsystem. So that's where I came from and what I've been doing. But the subject matter of retail consignment is fascinating to me. It gets me going every morning. It's very little known. Those dealers that are doing it like it, love it, I believe. And we're just trying to bring more into the fold and tell them more about it. And so your show is a great opportunity to do that as well and get the message out. It's just another piece of the ecosystem on the vehicle sourcing side of things.
So, and I want to say, and thank you for that, Jim. Thanks for taking the wheel. Sure. As we go into this, I want to add the reference that the more I heard you talk about as we go into your slides, you got my attention because this isn't, how would you say it? This isn't a well-known method or...
Right.
It's not well utilized, or both, or what's going on here?
Yeah, it's a niche little area where it's little known. It's becoming larger. There are certain segments of the automotive space that do it more than others. For instance, if you get into classic car sales and exotics, and even into RVs and things like that, a higher percentage of dealers are utilizing the consignment as a way to source cars for their inventory. When you get into the kind of the late models area, you know, Camrys and Honda Accords and whatever, that's where, and we'll get into it with the very first slide, that's the, you know, the traditional auction, private party owning the inventory has been the model for decades and decades. And I will say this, you know, at some point, it's kind of like the EVs, you know, we're just going to chisel away at it a little bit and we're going to get to where it's going to become a larger and larger piece. Will it ever replace owning inventory and buying cars at auction or buying cars as trade-ins? No, it will not do that. It's just another way, and we'll get into some of the benefits, but it's just another way to kind of supplement. So it's not a replacement, it's not an alternative. It's just another option that we want to get the word out to. And then because we have a platform that we are bringing together the sellers, and so we are bringing in the buyers, the dealers as well.
So do me a favor, before we go in, I was thinking of vehicle buying centers. Vehicle buying centers were all the rage the last couple of years because we know dealers are looking for alternative ways to find inventory versus just showing up at auction, throwing up the hand, and paying all the fees, right?
Yep. Yes, okay. Sir.
So, but a vehicle buying center, the dealer's still buying the vehicle.
Yeah, it's all about owning. Right? Yeah, so when we get to that first slide, you know, the first, second slide, there's most, I'd say 99% of the dealers out there, including myself in the beginning, there was only one universe. It was you own the cars, you buy and own them, and then you sell them. But in between, you got to fix them and you got to clean them up and you got to do all kinds of things, finance them. The second element is consignment. And really just kind of like the light bulb went off with us recently where, you know, consignment, and we'll talk about this, consignment is free inventory, free cars. And we put a website up recently that said it's called getfreeinventory.com. And people are like, what do you mean free inventory? What do you mean free cars? The consignment is just that. It's and we'll talk more about that if when we get into it. So,
all right. Well, so do me a favor. So, all right. So here we are, automotive retail consignment. What do you mean free inventory? And before you tell me about free inventory, tell me.
Yeah.
Okay. How have we been doing it?
So go back for 1 second.
Yeah.
And because the tagline at the bottom says it all, and then we'll get into the mechanics of it if you want. But this is a true statement. Ask any dealer like myself who's been using consignment to source cars. You do not have to own them to sell them and make good money. And you'll get dealers, and it's fine. Everybody has an opinion, but some of them will say it's not worth it. There's too much liability. I don't want to sell a private party car. But at the end of the day, you can sell them. We're making it easier and you know, to get your hands on them. And we also have some standards and things that we kind of have, like, you know, the consignment college, where we'll teach you the right way to do it. So anyway, that's, you know, you don't have to own them to sell them to make good money. That's our tag.
Okay.
One of our tags.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what you're looking at here, this is it. This is the decade old. And again, there's nothing wrong with it. There's still innovation occurring within this circle. You've got folks like, you know, basically when you want to go get a car, you're going to have to own it. Unless you're doing consignment, you're going to buy it. And there's a couple of places. There's auctions, and there's lots of new options out there, you know, Carster and Open Lane. And then you've got products like what Sky is doing, which is the one auction view, you know, where he's giving you some aggregation where you can have a more simple experience going out and owning a car and buying a car. And in the private party sector, or that area of the sourcing, I mean, that's like a wrestling match out there. I mean, WeBuyCars.com, it's just, you know, all the Kelley Blue Book, True Car, you know, all that stuff. It's fun and it's all good, but you still have to own the car. So let's go to the top of that circle. Now go back one more, I'm sorry. So the top of that circle, you walk through the formula, and you're buying a car, no matter whether it comes from auction or through one of those private party sources, but you're buying a car. What does that involve? You either got to put cash out there from your working capital, or you've got to go get a finance company that's going to finance your inventory on a floor plan basis. But when you do that, it's all about cash, right? So, and cash and costs. So this model has built into it, ownership is basically has a lot of cost built into it, and it has a lot of risk built into it. So you're going to buy the car, you're going to get it back to your lot and do some recon on every car. And that's where you get into issues like the quality of the condition report grades. Are the auctions calling are they calling the conditions correctly? Are there little things that you didn't catch when you get it back, and now all of a sudden you've got repairs and it's costing you money? And then ownership itself costs money. Depreciation, turnover, if you have a high turnover rate, all those things, it's costing you to have that car sitting on your lot. And then, as we're seeing now in the past 6 months, there's some market risk there in terms of volatility and price. So we all were, you know, we all put a lot of money in our pocket during COVID. You know, all you do is get a car and you'd sell a car. Now, all of a sudden, the prices are dropping. And so if you bought a car, you know, 30 days ago, you better hope you sell it, because prices are starting to drop. And there's market volatility risk there. And so, again, this is the model that's been out there. It works. It's always worked. But there's risks and costs inherent in owning the cars and then where you get them. And on the private party side, too, the dealers are spending a tremendous amount of money on these buying centers and all that kind of stuff, you know, to go out and get leads and work leads and all that. And the auctions, we all know the auction prices or auction fees have gone up double in the past probably 12 to 18 months. And so the costs have gone up. So it's riddled with costs, riddled with risk. It doesn't make it a bad old system. It just makes it a system. If you go to the next slide, this is our view and what we think the new view should be. We put equal size circles, but, you know, we're a fraction on the consigned world. But perhaps maybe we get some traction with what we're doing on Retail My Ride. But look at the simplicity now of the consigned. They literally are free cars. You don't pay for the cars. You sell the cars for the seller. So you retail it for the seller. You earn a commission, whether it's flat fee or percentage, and then you pay the seller for the car at that point. So it kind of works in reverse. You sell it first, and then you pay the owner or the seller. The recon becomes a revenue. If you have a dealership that does in-house recon, like reconditioning and repairs, that's the seller's cost. And so you take the car in for Retail My Ride. We'll get the car there for you. And then essentially the recon, if it needs new brakes, new batteries, a cleanup, that's a cost to the seller, not to you. So it's a revenue side for you. It's a different, you know, part of your balance sheet all of a sudden, or income statement. And then the risk factor, here's the part I love about it, especially in today's price environment where prices are dropping. If a car's still sitting on my lot after 30 or 45 days and the price needs to be adjusted, I call the consignment seller and I say, it's time to drop your price. And they have to, because you've got to keep aligned with the market. If I do that on the owned side of the equation, that's my margin. That's my loss. So when you sell a car on consignment, you either have a fixed consignment fee or you might have a percentage, but you will not lose any money. I've been doing this 10 years. I've never lost. You can't lose any money selling a consigned car, but you can certainly lose money selling an owned car. We all know that for sure. And so there's kind of there's the aha piece of it, I guess. And then on the retail my ride side, which we get into maybe a little bit later, but we do have, through our platform, we're offering private party cars to dealers that are signed up and participating. But as you know from our podcast with you last month, we're partnered with eCars, and they're supplying us through their clients with the institutional cars. Those are banks, credit unions, lease companies, fleet companies. And so dealers that sign up for us get access to private party and institutional cars. And keep in mind, we'll go through this, but keep in mind that these are cars that the dealers that are signed up, they dictate which cars they want, and we put it in their profile. And then when they come into our system, we basically match them up and say, here's what you told us you wanted, and we're going to put the cars on their lot. The private party people, private party sellers are going to bring those cars to the dealership. So no transportation costs like you have with the auction, traditional view. And on the institutional, eCars pays for the transport. So on the institutional side, it's pretty cool. You might get a weekly list. If you're one of our dealers, you get a weekly list of cars, and you pick the ones you want. And within 1 or 2 days, those cars show up at your dealership on consignment for free.
Wow. Tell me about some of this eligibility criteria stuff. You got a lot here.
Yeah, we don't have to touch on all of that. So what we established, and this goes back to our early days with eCars, you know, and with the banks and credit unions, but we also use this when we're educating and informing and selecting private party cars. So that's the other thing. Private party owners come to retailmyride.com. They put their car information in, just like they do maybe on a Kelley Blue Book or something like that, or you know, a CarMax, Carvana bid or an offer. But we take their car information, and then knowing the consignment side of the world, we use this kind of standard eligibility criteria to either accept or reject right up front the car, because we know what our dealers want and don't want. And so this was a set of standards that kind of come along with being a participant on our website.
So now, I mean, I see Rob in the live chat asking Sky questions.
Yeah.
What if you like this idea? How do you get started?
Yeah. So, 4 golden rules. Well, to get started, we'll talk about it next. But if you're going to join us at Retail My Ride, which we hope you will, getting started, there's 4 golden rules. If you are a dealer that's already doing consignment, one thing we're not going to ever do is come in and tell you how to run your dealership. You're an independently owned car dealership. All we're doing is connecting you with sellers to get you free cars that you say you want. But because of our experience in this space, we're going to provide you with training and golden rules. And here's just, you know, 4 golden rules that we came up with. So if you're starting out and you sign up and you say, Jim, help me, I don't have a consignment program today at my dealership, we're going to start you off with these golden rules. Number one is, we've already talked about it, maintain uniform selection criteria regardless of source. So whether you get it in the other circle, the old traditional way through auction, or whether you get them from us at Retail My Ride, we're telling you to pick the same cars with the same, you know, level of quality and makes and models and mixes. Keep them the same. So again, when you're on your lot, nobody knows which ones are auctioned, which ones are consigned. When we send the cars and the customers to you, the biggest thing up front is to be realistic with and set the expectations with the seller. Don't promise them the moon. Don't say, if you put your car in my lot, we're going to get you, you know, the moon here. We're going to get you all the money. Set a realistic number. And that way, you know, they're not going to be disappointed. And you're still going to get your fee, and they're going to get more money than what they would have gotten if they had it, you know, on a instant cash offer with CarMax or Carvana or one of the others out there, or Kelley Blue Book. I pick on those guys all the time. number three, and there's a whole bigger discussion on this, but we'll save it. But at a high level, it's kind of almost inherent. It comes with it, whether you recognize that you're doing it or not. But if you're a consignment dealer, you're using what I call, what we developed is called the triple win pricing strategy. And that is, if you look at the average distance or average space between wholesale value and retail value, right now it runs about $4,000, okay? Well, you can buy them for at auction when you take them back in retail. All this is you are creating a price that will benefit the seller, the dealer, and the buyer. And the buyer is even in on this too. So, because you're going to price it to where you're going to basically share that $4,000 difference between wholesale and retail. So you may say, instead of it being a $20,000 car, you list it for $19,000. It helps turn the inventory faster. The buyer's happier. And now you have a new happy customer there. But now you take and you split that difference with the commission and with the proceeds with the seller. So everybody, so what basically in a nutshell, the triple win means all three P parties go away feeling that they got a win on it. The seller, the buyer, and the dealer. The dealer earned good money with it. And then what was the last one? I'm sorry.
So then we've got, no, you're good.
Yeah, put it back.
Okay, so then now this is where you've got the Retail My Ride info, let's see, background, yeah. And then you've got contact information.
Yep. That's more of a pitch, but I'm not here to pitch. I'm really here to talk about consignment, you know, right, for tonight. And that's
fair.
You know, oh, I'm sorry, the last one there. Yeah, process all cars the same. That the other thing.
Oh, gotcha.
The fourth golden rule. It kind of goes with like number one. So pick the same cars from us that you would pick anywhere else. But when you get them on your lot, process them all the same. It doesn't matter. It's a private party. Get them ready, photograph them, list them, market them, sell them, back office, front office, everything. And keep in mind, you're making money on these cars with your F&I department as well. So you can make money on the recon, fixing the cars up, and then you're making money on the F&I and warranties as well. And you get trade-ins. You can do trade-ins on consignment cars as well. So one car out, one car in. Yeah.
We are bringing in Sky and Mike next, so do me a favor, stick around. Here comes the panel. We'll be right back.
Auction VCommerce is the universal support solution to help brick-and-mortar auctions respond to the needs of digital buyers and sellers with greater efficiency, accountability, and more access. Auction VCommerce is a bridge between the dealers of the past and the auction of the future.
Transport Auto Quoter is by far the leading auto quoting software on the market and the only auto quoter with a pro version that comes preset with accurate pricing for anywhere in the U.S. So you don't have to worry about it. The best part is that no change with your current software is needed. Just plug TAQ in and start booking jobs. Carriers can easily plug TAQ into their current websites and start making money right away. I bet you're wondering how we do this instantly and accurately 24/7. Well, constant analytics is the key. Our PriceWatch team is constantly monitoring current market conditions, paying close attention to seasonal and quick-moving industry changes. At the end of the day, it takes a lot of time and data to maintain good pricing, time that most of us just don't have on a daily basis. So free yourself up. Using TAQ Pro is really a no-brainer. Save time and money, maximizing your leads and optimizing your online investments. You'll finally be able to sleep well at night knowing that TAQ is on the job selling for you 24/7. Never missing a potential job.
You missing leads in the middle of the night? Get Transport Auto Quoter and get the right price to your customer the first time, anytime. With Transport Auto Quoter, TAQ, visit transportautoquoter.com. Thank you so much. All right, here we go. This is the panel for auto retail consignment. This is the chance to ask and talk. We got Sky Hallman with us. Sky, can you see me and hear me okay?
Yeah, Jay, got you loud and clear. Thanks for having me again on the show.
You got it, Sky. Thank you so much. Now, let's just jump right in. You've been listening to Jim's presentation. We got Rob asking good questions in the live chat. We'll take a look at those in a second. But share your thoughts, please.
You know, this is all great stuff. And just so everybody knows, I started as an independent dealer 22 years ago, May of 2002, with $10,000 out of college. And if it wasn't for consignment, I wouldn't be where I was today. And that was honestly my secret ace in the hole, because I only had 10 grand. I could only buy a few cheap cars, but we would dial for dollars. It was my brother and I dial for dollars. We would call in, you know, Auto Trader, the paper magazine there. You would call and call people, and they're having problems selling their cars. Hey, I've got great visibility. I've got lenders. I could take a trade in, come bring it down. And I mean, we crushed it. Absolutely crushed it.
So I think that goes to Rob's question. Rob had asked, and it just moved on me here. Rob's question is, does this platform work for small used car dealers who have trouble competing at the auctions with the bigger dealers?
Yeah.
Yes.
100%. Yeah. Right. Yes.
It's actually works better, I think, for the dealers that are on our platform. They're small to medium size. You don't have a lot of franchise dealers. They either don't want it or don't need it or haven't found it yet. But it is for the smaller, more medium size. Yeah.
Now, do me a favor. You know what? I've got to get Mike the invite. I got it. It's .net versus .com. Okay, no problem. So. Picking up with what he said, Sky, please reply to Jim while I get Mike his invite.
Rob had asked a question about how does a lender view if a deal is in the title in the private party, not in the dealership. So, you know, speaking on a specific state level, some states have some weird nuances with titling. You know, I can't speak directly to that, but as a general rule of thumb, most lenders don't always require what's called a validated reg. A validated reg means that the title has to be perfected prior to issuance of funding from the loan. Most dealers usually get some sort of title float, which will allow them to be able to get paid on the vehicle, and then obviously give them time to perfect title in the bank's name. There could be credit unions, though. A lot of credit unions really do like validated reg, which again will mean that dealer will have to transfer that reg, get the seller's the title from the seller, and transfer it in their name. And once they receive payment, remit payment to the consignor of the vehicle. Jen, okay. Jim, I'll let you add any info on that.
So, no, please. Yeah.
No. Well, I was going to say that's exactly right. If there's still a lien when the seller's title and the title's with the seller's bank, we can walk you through. There is a process for that. But what we do typically, what we encourage, is when you get a private party seller's, get the title from them and do everything you need to do when you get a buyer in there. And then basically you'll get funded within a day or so. So, but the biggest thing is the private party seller doesn't get funded until the dealer gets funded within 24 to 48 hours.
See, and I There's think what's happening here is you're pointing out why your program is helpful, because there are going to be things that you're going to need guidance on, such as what Sky just raised. But before we move on, Mike, can you see me and hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
All right, good. Cool. Sorry about the mix up on the invite. You're here with us. Mike Benavides, please say hello. And
hello, everyone.
Tell us what's going
Good
on
to
with
see you.
You
guys again.
Yeah.
I was excited to talk on this particular subject because, as a newly licensed dealer, I know this is a big part of my growth strategy this year, especially for the specialty vehicles, fully equipped police vehicles that we distribute nationwide. And some of the unique challenges that our customers, the police departments and cities that we work with, getting top dollar for their car and getting things moved. And even for the buyers that, you know, there's a whole ecosystem that's completely broken and inefficient for these types of vehicles as well. But I'm certainly interested in learning more about the topic, learning more about Jim's program, and some of the ways that we can optimize for that. And of course, on the data side, I supply a lot of the critical things for vehicle data, market data, people data, learning more about that helps these transactions, occur more efficiently. So glad to be here, and thanks for having me.
And Mike, you before the show, you posted on LinkedIn, I was trying to pull that up, you had a bunch of stuff that you said talking about why tuning in. I thought you made a lot of good points. So thanks for doing that.
Yeah, of course. It's important to understand, for people that, maybe don't know about the topic or, what each of us are bringing to the table here. I'm interested as a potential user, knowing that, I need to do this for my operation. And, and there's some things that I still need to learn. And then, of course, for those that are interested in, getting to be more successful at it, there are critical pieces that that I supply the industry with that maybe I can help them understand how to apply these things and how they fit in a consignment transaction. And so I'm just as anxious in joining the discussion to learn as much as to contribute.
Hey, here's another good one from Rob. This will get something started. Sounds like you would have to get a contract with a seller to avoid them selling the car on a different platform without your knowledge.
Yep. So the standard contract that I use as a dealer, and we put it out there to others, and we've sent it out as kind of a starter kit to new dealers that want to do consignment. We've got kind of a starter kit, includes an agreement and the golden rules and, some training. But it's an exclusive listing. So it's kind of like when you sign up a real estate agent, signs you up to sell your house. It's a 60-day minimum exclusive listing. All listings come down. They can't compete against you and try to sell it before you sell it and stuff like that. So there is agreement. I think ours is only 3 pages. We keep it real simple, but it spells everything out.
Yeah, consignment, echoing what Mike was saying. Mike, nice to see you. The specialty vehicles, that has been my entire tenure in automotive, has been specialty, classic, collectible, highline, exotic, anything in between, tuner cars, the Impala SSs, if you remember when those were really hot, the center console shift ones, the 94 to 96, I mean, literally every genre of vehicles, I've had a run at them for probably 1 to 3 years, just depending upon what was hot at that period of time. So, yes, you can't just go to your local auction and expect to pick up, Impala SSs. So you may have to call folks in the paper, and if they don't want to sell them to you because they're very proud of that car, it's special and they did something to it, but they're selling it, but they can't get the eyeballs in front of that car like a car dealer can. That's where consignment really shines, because car dealers, naturally, we're advertising. We have a website. We're dealing with walk-in traffic to some degree, so it's a natural shoe-in.
Yeah.
You think then there are dealers that are in that situation? They're on the phone with the guy. He won't sell it, and then they miss the consignment deal?
I think so. If there's I've used that as a close several times, because now I put my time in. I could buy a car if I need to buy it, but obviously if they won't close on the car on the price that I want to pay, I'll say, hey, leave it with me with consignment. And I've bought a lot of cars, actually, believe it or not, on consignment. The people, hey, I'm going out of town, or I'm traveling, or I just want out of it. Will you just write me a check? Absolutely, I'll do that. So it opens, just what Jim says, it opens a whole nother avenue of opportunity that if you don't explore it, you don't get that opportunity.
Amen. Yeah, I'll second that emotion, because I'll do the same thing. In fact, we have a template we share with dealers too. It's basically when a customer says, I want to sell my car, you give them both options. Here's what consignment looks like, and we give them a projected number of what we think they're going to pocket after they pay us. Or here's an instant cash offer too. And the more we want that car as a dealer, the more we're going to kind of close that gap. Here's consignment. Here's instant cash. Which one do you want? And they basically won't leave without making, you know, door number one or door number two. So you got a car one way or the other. It's another one of those benefits or advantages we didn't put on the slide, but it's there. It's absolutely real.
Speaking of, I just thought of, okay, so in the beginning of the press, because we talked about the presentation, we're still, obviously you have this under control, but I'm, as an advisor, like, hey, here's a good way to present. We talked about what are the most common types of consignment today. Let's say somebody can't relate. What is the most common type of consignment? Let me get my game show music here. What is the most common type of consignment today? What is it?
Antiques. Antiques.
Yeah. Classics, antiques, and exotics.
Okay, so what would that platform be? What's the name of the most common consignment platform that people use, and not just for cars, but for anything?
I would say eBay.
eBay? Okay. That's what I wrote down as eBay. That eBay is the password is eBay. My point is this, is that, you know, to get people to relate to, in the automotive realm, if you're sitting in front of a room of dealers, obviously they know what you're talking about. But for anybody sitting there right now, go to camera one, that's like, I still don't know what consignment is. The answer is eBay. eBay is consignment. Hmm. eBay didn't buy your stuff. You're using eBay, or did they? Help me out.
I don't know, though. So Rick, you're talking about a platform, but like we're a platform, but we don't sell cars. We don't list any cars. We source and we connect the two parties together. So what we've done is, if any of you guys remember, they went out of business, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago, was Car Lots. They were they were consignment only, and their model was to source 100% of their inventory. They had the unfortunate bad timing of COVID and some other things, but their model was good. But they went out with the brick and mortar model of we're going to be CarMax, and we're going to source 100% of our cars with consignment. And that's, they didn't do well with that because of timing. What we stepped in and said was, there's already 65,000 dealers out there. Why don't we just provide a platform where they can plug in to get connected? And again, we're doing more now going forward. We just made some changes to the website where we're working the leads, and we're gonna schedule the appointments to have the customer and the car visit your dealership, if you're signed up, on a certain day and talk to a certain person at your dealership who handles the consignment. And so it's structured with process, but it also gives the seller a better experience as well. So it's more of a network, but we're not selling cars. I think eBay, do they sell cars on consignment, or are they?
Just the marketplace.
Who's actually selling?
Just the marketplace, right? Yeah. And actually, Jim, I think you explained what Car Lots does or did very
did,
well.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the problems with Car Lots. I remember when that came out, I was trying to, and I thought, how come I'm not getting it? How come I'm not seeing the business model? I thought maybe I'm missing something.
I'll tell you, the key thing that killed him was COVID, with the shortage of cars in general. But the biggest thing was, if we all recall, 2020 and 2021, the car prices were rising so quickly that everybody was making money just sending them all to the auction. So why sit them on your lot for 30 days? I'll just go to the auction tomorrow and get more money than I ever expected. So, you know, consignment does well on a flat or declining price market. And on the increasing one, it becomes, you know, just another place to go sell a car. But
yeah.
So it's a little bit of a nuance.
Because Carvana, you're competing with Carvana, CarMax, AutoNation, and all the other Vroom, the guys that were trying to buy your cars and giving really sell offers of what a dealer would sell something for, just because they were hungry for those cars. So that's why, to your point, those commodity cars, the Toyotas, you know, the Toyota Camrys, the Civics, the run of the mill stuff is really hard to compete with. In consignment, because obviously they, you know, somebody could cash out on that car, or they can just, you know, it's really hard to do those on consignment.
Yeah. The ones that work really well too are like the low. So we get, and that's one of the benefits too, again, was you're getting you're not only going to get highline cars on consignment, but you're going to get these extreme low mileage cars, you know, the estate sales where someone opens up a garage and there's three, 2008 Camrys in there and they've got 22,000 miles. You take that to CarMax, Carvana, whoever, they're not going to give you a fair shake on that. But if you bring it to consignment, you're going to get retail and you're going to get a good number on it. So
I assume it matters for the owner themselves. If it's not their daily driver, something they depend on, they have the time to get handed over and get top dollar for the car through a consignor.
Yep. I agree. I always ask that question on that from the beginning. If it's on the consignment, do they have the time? Is another driver? And obviously, do you want me to cash you out or do you have time to let it sit? And if you have time to let it sit, you could potentially make more money.
Sure.
And obviously, then I'm not writing the check for the car. Then naturally, you can get more money for the car. But if I'm cashing you out, I have to hedge my bet against dropping books and so forth. So,
yeah.
What do you prefer, Sky?
You know, really, truly, it depends on the car. Really, honestly, if I can get that car anywhere, I don't care how I get it, if it's on consignment or I write a check, it doesn't matter. It's just the car. Because if I know I could sell it and I know it's super hot, it doesn't matter if I wrote a check for it or if it's on consignment. So again, it just depends on the type of merchandise.
But if it's a commodity car, you're looking to decrease your risk by using the consignment process?
Yeah. If it's a Toyota Camry or something like that, and I sell Jeep Wranglers and lifted pickup trucks and specialty vehicles, I don't really want a Camry with 80K. You know, another person may want that. But if it's, to Jim's point, if it's a 20,000 mile, 10-year-old Camry, I mean, I'd be an idiot not to get that. I mean, that would be...
Because you know it's going to sell fast. Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly it. The old stuff like that is gold. But, you know, late model, 2-, 3-, 4-year-old stuff, I'm competing with CarMax, Carvana, and every Toyota and Honda store, within 500 miles.
Robin, another good one. Thanks, Rob. How does a lender view this deal if the title is in a private party name and not the dealership? I know we talked titles earlier, but did we hit this one?
We hit this one, yeah. I mean, basically, we hold titles when we go to, I'm a dealer, so I do the consignment. A customer comes in, they sign the 3-page agreement, they leave me the car, but they also leave me the title and they leave it blank. And so I have it so that when the buyer comes in, I get their signature on the appropriate place on the title. I call up, Joe Smith, hey, good news, I just sold your Camry. Come on in tomorrow, sign the title, and then I'll give you your money. So within 24 hours after me getting funded, the seller's already funded as well. It gets a little more complicated if the private seller still has a lien open somewhere to bank. But there are absolute workarounds. We can help the dealers with that. There's letters of guarantee. There's different ways to do it. And it's one of the things that we will incorporate at one point into Retail My Ride. We're going to have what we call, consignment-friendly vendors and banks that we'll bring them into the network. That was the plan all along, and we'll do it, which is, here's the banks. If you bring them into your dealership, they will fund you on day one because they know that you're a Retail My Ride dealer, and we do vetting and all that kind of stuff as well, too. So they may be more inclined to fund you on day one and then wait 3 weeks to get the title.
Sounds like you can get kind of creative with this.
Yeah, you can. Absolutely. And we are. Yeah.
That's pretty neat. I appreciate everybody showing up and being a part of this. Is there anything we didn't talk about that we wanted to add? Mike, did you have anything that you wanted to ask or add, or Sky?
Sure. I mean, one of the things that beyond just, my interest in utilizing consignment in my operations is I also have a ton of data that helps with these transactions, fraud mitigation and other things. Most notably, besides just being able to properly identify the vehicle, utilizing option level VIN decoding, and all the merchandising content and even the research content that a retailer can have. So someone, especially if they got a mix of cars, They, you know, a consumer can come on instead of going to a third-party marketplace or an OEM website. You know, they can do a lot of the most basic research, comparing features, specs, pricing, all that stuff, right there on the retailer's website. Plus, wow, just for identity solutions, you know. So I now have direct access to federal vehicle ownership records from the DOJ. So I get the full garage of the person. I know all the vehicles that are licensed to them. I get the current reg, title, and lien holder information. I can do a criminal background check, check the VIN-specific recall, verify all the PII for that particular person. And even one of the things that I think fits in pretty well here is that I'm aggregating all the private party listings that go up on the major marketplaces. We're talking almost 20,000 a day, and still looking for, you know, some partners that want to take advantage of that. It sounds like, you know, yeah, Jim, like, hey, you know, these are people that, you know, should be messaged and like, hey, if you want top dollar and this situation is right for you, use consignment. Don't cash out from a dealer who's, you know, and certainly don't take an offer from, you know, these trade-in, some of these trade-in tools that have really have no idea what they're bidding on and are not in the position to give you top dollar for your car. And so you can utilize a service like that with an approved dealer who can get you top dollar. And a lot of people that are just going out and looking to sell their car private party may not really realize the advantages of consignment and be able to then sign up for these types of services that can get them top dollar. So there's a number of things that I think can facilitate transactions, help shoppers, you know what they're, you know, buying, and for those vehicles to be marketed effectively and efficiently. And then, you know, for fraud mitigation, if you're a dealer and you want to know the attachment of the person you're working with to the car you're working with, there's all types of ways to help mitigate those risks.
Yeah. I'll be calling you, Mike.
And I think I'll kind of echo what Mike is saying as a dealer that moved into the tech space, but I still am a car dealer, that I have used during my entire tenure of being a car dealer is technology. No matter what it is came down my way, I would use technology to help, you know, systems and processes at my store to be obviously a better car dealer and a better buyer. And obviously, you know, some of that easy stuff as a dealer is you run a KSR on a car, which essentially is a title report for the registration, if you would, that's going to show you the lien holder, the registered owner, and the expiration of the tags and so forth, just to ensure that it's really registered to that person. So again, echoing on Mike's point, you know, technology really is the springboard of everything that ties everything together that we're doing right now and going forward as car dealers. So I really, truly think that consignment is a great opportunity for smaller dealers, specialty dealers, anybody that has a specialty, you know, convertibles, Corvettes, you know, vans, you know, they have a reason that the deal that consumers come to that dealer, that is a perfect person for consignment because they already have that natural draw of customer.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. I just shared email addresses. Jim, you got Mike's. Mike, you have Jim's.
Great.
Does anybody want to share anything with the audience live and on demand in the live chat that I can share? Any websites, anything?
Well, I'll go first. I guess everybody probably wants something.
I mean, yeah, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you've done it before for me, Jay, and thank you again very much.
Sure.
I had it in the final slide, or I wanted to, we kind of did like what's next or how do I get started with the four golden rules. But anybody that, you know, viewed this tonight, just go to Actually, if you can pull up the website we did last month, which is you can go straight to Retail My Ride and register as a dealer. But we put up a new website that is kind of our dealer informational marketing website for dealers exclusively to find out more and connect with us. Get free inventory. There you go. Getfreeinventory.com. That's what consignment is. Yes, we do charge a landing fee for our service. We have cost involved in, you know, SEO and traffic to our website and all that good stuff. But we are a fraction of what you would pay as a buyer fee at the auction. And you're getting a free car and you're getting all of our expertise and, you know, training and all that kind of stuff. But we also, our pricing is no cars, no cost. So you sign up, private party people come to our website at retailmyride.com. If we send them over to you with an appointment and you like their car, you shake hands, you put it in your inventory, and that's when we bill you, is when the car gets there. So if there's a month or a week where you don't get a car from us, we're not charging you anything to participate.
You said something there too on the auction fees. You're not kidding. Every time somebody sends me an email or a screenshot with something with auction fees, yeah, everybody want to chime in on auction fees. Jim, how they doing?
It's like, reminds me of like sending your kid to college now versus 20 years ago.
Yeah, I bought
it. It's ridiculous. I mean, a $300, $400 buy fee used to be a big deal. Now it's $600, $700. It's insane.
Yeah, $740 on a, what did I buy? A Jeep Wrangler that was $28,000. $740.
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you all the reasons why it was justifiable, but ours is a fraction of that, and it's on a, you know, once you put it on your lot, we're going to do all the work. We're going to set the appointment, and the seller is going to bring it to you. And on the institutional cars, those get transported for free, as far as the dealer goes. That comes from eCars. eCars, our partner, is paying for that transport. So you select them, and then they show up. Everything's free except for our landing fee.
And by the way, on the auction, so there's a buy fee, there's a sell fee. What other fees are there at an auction?
Recon.
Condition reports.
No inspection. Terrible inspection.
Each time it runs through the sale and it doesn't sell, there's a no sell fee.
Yes, no sell fee. Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not supposed to, but this is ATI. See, on ATI, we can talk about this stuff. That's the difference. I know, because you're not supposed to talk about that, right?
Yeah, right.
The itemized list. But it's painful. Is that right? Well, I guess
it's
painful. But if you're big, you're right. If you're really, really big, forget about it.
Well, if you're really big, you know, they're going to wine you, dine you, and, you know, they're going to cut you special, you know, incentives to, you know, to list on their platform. And, you know, you can take advantage of your scale if you're not there yet. I mean, and even some of the auctions are my customers for data services, you know, and I know I need to get on the friends and family plan or something, because, you know, those savings go right to your bottom line. And those auction buy fees, some of them at some platforms are, you know, north of, you know, 12% of the transaction price.
That's crazy.
So, you know, it adds up.
Yeah.
You made a good point about your volume, you get those discounts. Unrelated, but it felt the same. The discounts that cities get to get Hollywood to come and shoot films in their cities. At some point, the mayor goes, wait a minute, why are we giving this giant discount? Well, it gives back to the community and this and that. Then maybe one of the actresses will buy some jewelry. Well, that's not going to make up for the discount that we gave them. If you're big enough, you get the discount that makes it worth it. So if you're in the middle, you get squeezed.
That's right. And you know, they're a business like any else. They have a lot of competition. And nowadays, with all the different avenues for vehicles being moved, they need cars to list and sell. And, you know, they're competing with, you know, the physical auctions, digital auctions, new models like consignment that are totally transforming the remarketing landscape in terms of all the choices that there are to move metal nowadays. And So they got to compete just like everybody else.
Dan got it in the live chat. Condition report fee. Dan has sent me some of those auction fees. Yeah. If you have anything you want to send me your auction fees or your, you know, the eggs are too much. What?
Well, yeah, what's interesting there, again, if you did it, again, I already have the math. I can send it back out or whatever. But on a consignment, just for the pitching and consignment again, you know, it's anywhere from 5 to 10% is kind of the commission. Let's just take a, you know, 7% for just for the sake of it. If I'm selling a $30,000 car on consignment, I can make $2,000 on a commission. I still make my F&I, but I didn't have transport. The recon goes from a cost to a revenue because I'm still going to charge the seller a cleanup fee or whatever else they need. If they need brake pads, they're going to pay for brake pads and stuff like that. So when you do the math and you do a net, the profit per unit, gross profit per unit, is right there with an owned car. I mean, I probably should have had a slide specifically on that, because when you look at the numbers, then you'll scratch your head and go, wow, I mean, really? Like, I think some dealers think you make like $400 or $500 on a car or something. No, you make a good number without all the, if floor plan interest will eat you alive. What is it today? If you have a good line of credits, 9% or something, or 11? I don't even know. I don't use it anymore. But
teens, almost teens.
Teens. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, when you do the math, and I watch like some of like the, you know, the Carvanas of the world, what's their gross profit per unit? I don't know how they come up with some of that. They say $3,000 or $4,000. They're smoking something. But anyway,
on the back end there too. So then.
Yeah. But do it on a net basis, net everything out, all your cost involved, and it squares up pretty evenly, if not an advantage, on the consignment side.
So how do you arrange in that discussion with a seller? How do you break up the profit that's made, and you make the sale? Who gets what, and how does that break down?
I can work that real quick. So if you were watching earlier, I talked about triple win. We labeled it triple win, but every consignment really has this already baked into it because of the nature of the transaction. But essentially right now, the average difference between, let's just call it an MMR wholesale auction, and or even go to like a Carvana where they're going to give you a low figure, and then go to CarGurus, Good Deal, Fair Deal. The average is about $3,000 to $4,000 right now, maybe, and sometimes, and that moves and fluctuates. But what you're doing is you're basically telling the seller, I will split that with you. If you sell your Camry for $15,000, you bring it to me, I'll put it on my lot and get you $18,500, and we'll split that. And you split it, it's not a 50-50, you can go 50-50. There's different fee structures out there. Some are flat fees, some are percentage. But let's use that example of a $20,000 Camry and you charge 6%, you're going to make $1,200 on it. And so what is that? 20 minus 1200, the seller is going to get 17,800, but he may have gotten an offer from Carvana for 14,900. So you show them that, math up front. That's what I was saying earlier, when you first interact with the seller, is you do the math for them. And I've got a template for that. We're going to automate that through some other vendors and some partners as well. And Mike, maybe with your data, we can work together on that. As well, but that is the secret sauce, the wow factor with the seller. You show them those numbers and say, hey, do you have 30 to 45 days, maybe sooner? It's not a guarantee, but if you show them the spread is pretty sizable, they'll go for it. Why wouldn't I mean, some people, they're doing a trade-in, they're buying another car, they're upside down on the one they're in, stuff like that. You don't try to go for those. You go for the low-hanging fruit, as Sky was saying. You get those really cool cars, the low mileage, the ones that are hard to find, stuff like that. And you've got a seller who's got time to sell it and let you sell it. Those are the ones you grab. And we know that. We know how to do that at Retail Marine. So right now we get leads. I don't have the number in my head, the percentage, but we reject a lot of them. I mean, we say your car's not fit, doesn't have meet those vehicle criteria the way you described it. You're expecting too much. Some people say, I won't do the consignment unless you get me this amount of money. I would say, well, sorry, we don't think that's realistic. So the ones we're passing to our dealers, we've already kind of filtered those scenarios out. So you're not spending any time messing around with those either. That's part of our benefit to our platform as well.
Interesting. Yeah, maybe there's some things I can contribute to that. I do have Absolutely. Almost half of all franchise dealer transaction data. I've aggregated that through numerous partners. It's only about 2 weeks old, and it's updated every single day, new and used transactions. Again, almost half of franchise dealers in the U.S. Yeah. And a ton of auction data, auction transaction data, and values that I put in API. So I know, okay, what could I expect to get it at auction in various markets? What is this car going to pull? And, you know, and I play market arbitrage with that as well. So those are certainly components that I use on a pretty consistent basis, as do my clients, to help understand what is that spread, depending where you are, and to put that story together is like, what's the difference between auction and expected retail?
So are you familiar with VEDX, the private party acquisition model?
Sure.
I mean, I kind of see us... That's us, except for it's not acquisition. It's a private party consignment model, and we're doing institutional too. So you mentioned earlier that you have access to private party listings. We went down that road about 2 or 3 years ago, trying to do screen scraping and, you know, and then doing some soft messaging. It gets a little bit dicey, and then, you know, they change the formats on the screen scrapes, and then it gets expensive. But if you have data, and all we want to do is put in front of a mass number of sellers and say, okay, you've already tried to sell it yourself. You've already gotten lots of offers. Have you even thought about option number 3, which is not even well known? It's called consignment. And we think we can get you anywhere from, you know, 1500 to 2000 more. If you're interested, click here. And then all of a sudden we talk to them, and we tell them the good news.
Yep, there's almost 20,000 hand raisers a day that list their car, you know, every day across the U.S. Yeah. We aggregate that. Yes, it's a pain, but we're really good at it as far as aggregating data from all over the web, especially for automotive. It can be very much a challenge. But, you know, one of my companies, Vin10, is very, very good at that. You know, we license that data even, you know, in adjacent channels for, you know, total loss valuations and insurance company, you know, people who service insurance companies that want to know that part of the market as well. So, you know, and then, yes, there's platforms like yours or a VEDX who, you know, could use that to funnel those leads to dealers that are then going to scan those. Look for ones that are most of interest to them, and we make them available within minutes of them being posted. So if you want to be the first person on the phone, or the first person to email that customer.
Actually, I want to come in. I want to come in after they've already been contacted by 4 dealers with the same lowball offer. Then I'm gonna be the hero, right? So I want to get with you. We're gonna talk, Mike, and let's work together. Let's partner or do something on this, because data is king, man.
Thanks, Guy, on the that story to the customer who wants to consign, and you're going to give them more value. How do you go about that?
You really, what Mike said multiple times, you really got to pitch them, you know, from the onset. Hey, this is your cash out money. If you want me to cash you out, but if you have the time, that's the way you phrase it. If you have the time, I can possibly get you this much more and get it, you know, obviously on a sheet, a worksheet. Here's the net, so they know. And obviously, if you get it, you get it. And if you don't, they call you back and they're into you for some recon, a detail, and whatever you write up on there. And a lot of times they don't want to come out of pocket the, you know, $300 to $500 are into you. So they'll take the $1,500 less, and you stroke them a check, and you buy the car. I mean, really, truly, it's but if it's a specialty or a hard to get car that you can't get at the auction, again, you don't care how you get it. If it's on consignment or owned, it doesn't matter. You would not have that opportunity to have that vehicle if you didn't have it that via that means.
Yeah, that's where the two circles we showed earlier, Jay, they overlap each other, you know. You don't really care. It's just another source. It's either consign or sell it to me. I just want the car, one way or the other. So.
Fantastic, man. That was awesome. Wow. I thanked you guys 20 minutes ago.
I think we got you, Jay. We'll keep the conversation rolling.
That was awesome. Dare I say we didn't cover it all. I know that. And by the way, Mike, it was great to hear some of the what you're currently, you know, kind of getting that current update of what you're doing and working on and what you've got. I'm going to guess that, you know, other than Jim, there are other folks that would love to hear that. I was trying to think of, would you come up with another, whether it's a panel or a show, because you've got something there.
Well, I do, and I haven't announced anything yet, but I am closing on a deal with one of the major automakers who is consolidating its data services across its captive and its dealer operations and everything they do on the inside, making a ton of available data available directly to the market. And they've asked me to be their agent for that. So as that transaction finalizes in the next week or two, I think that would be a great opportunity to come back on the show and expose what a very, very progressive, smart, and capable OEM is doing to make data available so that the market can function better. There's all kinds of things that that OEMs are not providing that is part of the reason why you don't know what this car is and how much it's worth, because you don't even know what it is. And to be able to identify what it is, all the packages, options, everything else, let alone its service history. You know, there's telematics data, a ton of really cool stuff, not really on this topic, but definitely an opportunity to come back on the show and showcase from an OEM perspective what this means to a lot of operators in the space between marketplaces, software providers, the dealers themselves, having access directly, licensed access from an OEM.
Wow. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Let's follow up in May and maybe put a show together in June or July, whatever makes sense.
Sounds good.
Give ourselves plenty of runway for that. That's awesome. Well, that's pretty cool. I didn't even know that was coming too. So that was just kind of the cherry on top. Appreciate that.
My parting thought here is you can't sell from an empty shelf. Whether it's an auction car or a consignment car, you want them all.
Amen. Yeah. He who has the cars wins the game. That's what I always say.
Yeah. With lease returns, you know, starting to fall off a cliff here post lockdown, right? I mean, you got to find inventory somewhere. And, you know, this is a great way to do it. Private party acquisition is something that I recognize right away. I don't really deal a lot in private party cars like I used to. But, you know, for dealers that do, consignment makes a lot of sense. Now it becomes, how do we educate the public? How do we get them to understand the benefits of this and who it works for and why?
Well, we try to do that with content and with, you know, just getting the message out. But our website, and we want more content, so we'd love, you know, if you have either yourselves or others that write topics that touch up, you know, bump up against consignment and things like that. Man, let's put it up on our website too, because we're going full blast with driving more traffic to the website, but we're going richer with more content out there to try to get the word out as to what it is, and do it in a simplistic way to where, you know, it doesn't get too complicated, because it's really not. It's just kind of like handing the keys to a dealer that's vetted, that's on our website, and he knows what he's doing, and they'll tell you up front what they think they're going to get for the car and how fast it'll sell, and boom, 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 you get your money. I told Jay last time when I was on, I've been doing this 10 years. I have never had a customer come back that did consignment through my dealership and said, this was a total waste of my time. It was horrible. And it didn't work out. It works, because if you use the wholesale instant cash offer as your baseline for your talking points with the seller, you're going to be a hero over time, even if it's only $500 more money in the seller's pocket.
Yeah, that's when you license that tool, right? And say, hey, yeah, this is what every dealer is going to offer you, because they're all using this thing that doesn't even know what they're bidding on.
Yeah.
You know, go for it. And then use that as the baseline, right?
That's baseline. That's what I'm talking about with the template. I'll put that out there in some form or another, but it's, again, it's part of our kind of our starter kit, but it's having that conversation with the, so our website will get that done in terms of alluring, that's a bad word, but attracting and promoting the consignment. In fact, our tagline is we promote, we inform, and we connect. And the first two are on the seller side, and the connect is on the dealer side. But we promote consignment, and then we inform the sellers once they reach out to us, because they want to know more about it. And so we've got all that information, and we kind of tell them how it works. And we try to massage that into a network of dealers without trying to make it like a franchise thing where we're like telling every dealer has to do it our way. We don't want to do that either. But there's enough similarities. There's just little nuances. One dealer charges one fee, another dealer charges another, but everybody kind of does similar things on consignments and how they integrate it into their operations. So.
Wow. That was awesome. Jim, Sky, Mike, thank you so much. I really appreciate all the information, education, and engagement. So if you have any questions for Jim, Sky, or Mike, you can always contact me. Gentlemen, I'll let you go. This was awesome. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yep. Thanks for having us, Jay.
Hey, everybody.
Good to see you guys.
Take care. Thank you much.
Great seeing you. And that's a cut. Oh. Okay. That's my favorite part. No, it's not my favorite part. Actually, I really, you know, that's the, I don't sell cars. I don't even move cars. I don't book cars. I don't load cars. I don't collect cars. But the automotive industry, after 7 years of making shows and talking to automotive professionals, I've come to realize how big this industry is. There's all these niches and nuances and businesses and tech, and talking to Jim on the eCar show a month ago, just realized, wow, this is a topic that I want to learn more about and feature Jim, and I thought this would be a great discussion. And I knew that, well, Sky Hallman, he was in the live chat, he should be a part of it. Mike Benavides, is he available? Wow. And he brings the data, and then he brings an announcement, and that all happened live on ATI. So how cool is that? Thank you. That's okay. If you have any questions for me, contact me. Go to atiautobusiness.com and click contact us. Contact me. Send me an email. Let me know how I can help. And that's it. That's the program for tonight. We've got Thursday. Charles Lemons is a car hauler. He has a YouTube channel, and he's going to be our guest Thursday on Industry Logistics, where Jay and Sue talk logistics, and we've got some more news and headlines. I think Fraud will be with us again Thursday, so join us for that. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Thank you. One Auction View, Murphy Auto Transport, Auction View Commerce, Transport Auto Quota, Superflow Systems, Retail My Ride, One Auction View. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. And thanks for tuning in live and on demand. Have a good night. Here comes the car hauler. Why not? Thanks a lot. Good night.